Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Well, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them to, let's just go to the book of Acts. The book of Acts. We started a series a number of weeks ago on open doors, recognizing open doors. Because the word says in a number of places, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, speaking of a door of faith was open, I believe that's it. Acts 14, 27. Speaks of an open door. Colossians 4:3. Paul talks about a door opening, an effective door opening of service. So there's a number of places. I remember Jesus in Revelations chapter 3, verse 8, spoke of, I said go to Acts. Just go to Revelations real quick. Revelation chapter 3. And look at verse 8. We've often used this scripture for natural men who are not in the kingdom. And there is an application to that, but he's not speaking to natural men here. He's speaking to the body of Christ. And he says in verse 8, he says, I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door. Everybody say an open door.
Open door.
Which no one can shut. It's interesting. If he says that, then why are we singing about God open the heavens? The only place the heavens are closed are between your two ears. Because he said, I put before you an open door that no man can shut. He says, because you have a little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name. So he's clearly speaking to the new model man, not speaking of natural men who have yet to enter into the kingdom of God. So he's standing at the door and he's knocking because he's placed an open door before us. And it's our job as his sheep, we spoke of last week, that he knows, he said, my sheep know my voice. In fact, just go back over there to John for a source of review. John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, verse 2, he starts off by speaking, he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And I will submit to you that the door is the same door he spoke of in Revelations, that it's open. How many know Jesus functioned and lived in the earth as a man under an open heaven? He said that. I think it was Bartholomew who was so impressed with the word of knowledge that Jesus gave him. And I saw you under that fig tree before you ever came over here. And then he began to give him, you know, read his mail. And he was so impressed with that. And he says, you think you're impressed with that? You're going to see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. We talked about angels this morning. Folks, it would do us good to not be such Sadducees. I knew that would go over well. Because we constantly live natural lives and we completely are oblivious to the things that are going on behind the open door. They're actually more real than this arena we live in. So we started off the series, and last week Jesus talked about he had to function and enter through the door, that he's the shepherd of the sheep. And then he made a statement that he said, I am the door. In John chapter 10, verse 9, I'm the door. Anyone who enters through me will be saved and will go in and out. Aren't you glad where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty? Notice it doesn't say where the Spirit of the law is. You know, as much as we talk about these kinds of things, when you're not in church, your mind wants to go back to that place. Because somehow we want to feel worthy to receive what we want God to do for us. But yet the Word doesn't say where the Spirit of the law is, there's liberty. We can't relate to Him on the basis of performance. You have to relate to Him on the basis of His presence. You know, I talked about this, and I'll just mention this in passing. Moses wasn't allowed to go into the promised land because he did not recognize and honor the blessing of the Lord. He struck it. And that's basically just having disregard for the presence of Him. Because God didn't tell him to strike the rock the second time. But Moses disregarded the blessing of the Lord and he struck the blessing of the Lord. Folks, you have the blessing of the Lord on the inside of you. Yes, ladies, even you. I say that because so many attitudes in what we call church is the men do everything, the women don't do anything. You know, you can play the piano, you can go over there and play the piano. If you want to teach a Sunday school class, you can teach. But how many know the gifts of the Spirit aren't just for dudes? Right? Nowhere in 1 Corinthians 12 does it say, in parentheses, in small print, the following gifts only apply to the male. It doesn't say that. So, as the body of Christ, as 1 Corinthians 12 talks about, we need to understand that we need to esteem each other as the blessing of the Lord. We interact with each other. We walk in love towards each other because we're not going to strike the blessing of the Lord. And His presence in your life is the same way. You know, we may not verbally abuse the presence of the Lord, but by going after you leave church, and I'm not saying anybody in here does this, but you know somebody. After church is over with, man, God thing's done. We live completely oblivious to the presence of the Lord in our life. And then we're flying blind and bad things happen and then we blame Him because, God, don't you care? When the fact of the matter is He's in you, He wants you to listen to Him all the time. Because there's a door open. So Jesus, what I found was interesting, and I'll say this, if I went into the average setting of most people that would call themselves believers, and I read John chapter 10, verse 14, that Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd and I know my own and my Father and my own know me, even as, or in the same manner as, or exactly the same as, the Father knows me and I know the Father. If I was to go and say, In fact, if I said it to you, you know, if you're in church, you'll say, yeah, amen. But what do you say when you're not in church? Yeah, if I said, you know Jesus as well as Jesus knows Father, would you agree with that? Yeah. Well, you better. Jesus just said it. How many know Jesus knew Father pretty well? Pretty darn well. So then he's saying we know him on the same level. So I don't care if you feel like that or not, you better be saying what Jesus is saying. Right? He said, I'm the shepherd and I know my own and my own know me. In the same manner, exactly the same level as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And then we started the series off talking about the fact that heaven is a continuous, ongoing reality right now. We went on to the fact that Jesus talked about the open door as being a narrow gate, and most people don't notice it. They live life completely oblivious, and the way that's wide, the way that seems right to a man, always leads to death and loss. He said, but the narrow gate, which most people don't notice, in another parable he called it a mustard seed. How many know if I threw a mustard seed on the ground, you'd be hard-pressed to find it? He said, the kingdom is like a mustard seed. So it's not obvious. The open door is there, but we have to train ourselves like Jesus had to train himself. Hebrews says that he learned through the external pressures that he was under. He learned how to submit himself up under that which he was hearing. In your Bible, that word is obedience. But in the Greek New Testament, it's literally, he learned to hupo akouo, to submit himself up under what he was hearing. So he had to learn the same way. He said, I had to enter in through the door, and you're going to have to enter in through the door. And by the way, I'm the door. I'm also the shepherd. You know me, and I know you. By the way, you know me as well as I know my Father. Who was he talking to there? How many know Jesus was a man of faith? Because he was talking to a bunch of guys that he'd open his mouth and say stuff, and they'd be like, huh? But how many know when those men stepped into the new model, how many know they just basically stepped over into what he'd always been confessing over them anyway? And they just kept on walking. They understood about the door. Peter and John were going to the gate beautiful, and the guy at the temple there, and the guy was placed there every single day, and this particular day, the Spirit of God caught Peter's attention. They both looked at the man who's laying there, been lame from birth. And Peter says, I don't have silver and gold, but what I have at this very moment, right now, I'm giving it to you. And he jerked the guy up, and before the guy hit the ground, the legs that never had held any weight on them at all, everything from down, was completely made new. And he followed him into the temple, jumping and praising the Lord. I wonder if he does that still today. I said, I wonder if he still does that today. All day long. So go over to, how many don't have the notes for today? If you don't have the notes, raise your hand. Everybody has the notes. Good. Go to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. Verse 27 says this, and when they had arrived and gathered the church together, they began to report all of the things that God had done with them. This is Paul. They started off in Acts chapter 13. They were ministering to the Lord, worshiping him, and in the middle of their time with him, the Spirit of the Lord said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work which I've called them. So they prayed over them and they left on their journey. And what we're reading here in Acts chapter 14 is them on the return. And they had seen and experienced a whole lot. They went down to the island of Cyprus, all the way to the tip, ministering all the way down. And they got to a part of the island called Paphos. And we know the story about Elymas, the sorcerer, who was the was Sergius Paulus's basically he spoke into his life. History says Sergius Paulus appreciated him because he was a man of intellect, even though he was given to witchcraft and things. But because Sergius Paulus was a man of intellect himself, he appreciated him. Well, so Paul and Barnabas show up, and they, as they always do, go into the synagogues first, and they begin to preach. And church history says that what we're reading, that's not the first place Saul ran into Elymas. Church history says that prior to Sergius Paulus hearing the gospel and requesting their presence, being Saul and Barnabas, they had already been in the synagogue in that city, and Elymas had him, had Paul chained to a post and had him take lashes. In fact, my understanding is that that pillar is still there, what's left of it. You know, a man always kind of makes a monument and everything. Well, they kind of made a monument of that pillar, but anyway. So by the time we read about him here, this was not the first time they'd met. Now, whether or not Sergius Paulus had met, had heard that Paul or Saul had been given lashes in front of the synagogue, chained to that post or that pillar, that's speculation. But he called for them and said, I want to hear this gospel. So he called for Barnabas and Saul, and they stood in his presence, and here shows up Elymas. And finally the Spirit of God, by the discerning of spirits, gave Saul a word, and he said, why are you continually trying to twist the straight way of the Lord? He says, because you're doing that, you're going to go out of here blind for a season. And as soon as he said that, the same thing that happened to Saul on the road to Damascus happened to this man, and he had to grow up and feel his way out of there, and people had to lead him out of there. And Sergius Paulus was so amazed at the teaching of the Lord that the word says he believed. But it also says one thing there. It says, and Saul's name was also Paul. Did you ever recognize that at that very moment, it says Saul's name changed to Paul, and he was standing in front of a man named Sergius Paulus. History says that when a man wants to honor another man, this happened with Josephus too, his name gets changed, and he changes it and he names it after himself. So we know the gospel affected Sergius Paulus to the magnitude that he changed Saul's name and called him Paul. He named him after himself. So that was the beginning. You know, we read over here in Acts 14, and other things happened too. They left there, and a number of other things happened. So they come back, and they're telling everyone about how God had, what God had done, and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles, the non-Jewish folks. And he talks about how he opened a door. But I want to submit to you, this really wasn't the beginning of that open door to the Gentiles, the non-Jewish world. It actually happened before this. You remember a man named Cornelius. Peter is up on the roof, and the dude is hungry. He can smell lunch being prepared downstairs. And so he's up there, and all of a sudden, the word says he falls into a trance, and a sheet lowers from the heavens with all kinds of animals and creatures in it that he would never touch. That happened 3 times. And when that lowered, a voice from heaven said, "What God has cleansed, let no man call unholy." And so by the time this situation is over, in fact, just go over there to, I believe it's Acts chapter 10 or Acts chapter 9. By the time the situation is over, see if I can find it here. Okay. Yeah, it's Acts chapter 10 is where it starts. Cornelius, the angel shows up in an open vision. How many of you know Cornelius wasn't asleep? He wasn't having a dream. He didn't go into a trance like Peter did on the rooftop. He was wide awake. His eyes were wide open. And there standing in his house is an angel. The veil between the unseen and the seen world disappeared. And there's the angel. Gives Cornelius specific instructions. Gives him a word of knowledge and words of wisdom. Say, okay, over in Joppa, there's a man named Peter, go over there, send some guys over there. He's at a guy's house. Told him exactly where he was, and so he called his servants in, and they went. So, back at the ranch, Peter's on the roof, getting hungry. And he had this trance, saw this vision. And God said 3 times in chapter 10, verse 15, "What God has cleansed, let no man consider unholy." That happened 3 times. And then by this time, verse 17, Peter was greatly perplexed in his mind. Everybody say perplexed in his mind. As to what the vision which he had seen might be. And while he's up on the roof perplexed in his mind, behold, the men who had been sent by Cornelius, they were given directions to Simon's house. They appeared at the gate and calling out, they were asking whether Simon, who was called Peter, was staying there. And Peter's still reflecting on the vision. And while he's reflecting on the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, there's 3 men looking for you. Get up and go downstairs and accompany them without misgivings. For I have sent them myself." So then it goes on to say, so Peter went down. And he was so overcome with hunger, he forgot about the vision and just said, "Hey, where's lunch?" Is that what it says? That Peter went down, still intrigued by the vision, but decided he wanted to eat. And by the time he got done with his lunch, he had forgotten what the vision was all about. Is that what it says? No, it says that he went down, and greeted the individuals that had come for him. They basically ate, stayed the night, and the very next day they went, and he followed them wherever they're going. And some guys came with him. Does he know what that vision's about? No. He still doesn't know. Notice it doesn't say, when they asked him to come with them, he said, "No, I'm sorry, I just had a vision on the roof. And I gotta think on this one a little bit. So give me about 3-4 days, because I gotta spend some time with the Lord. And then come back in about 3 or 4 days, and then I'll go with you once I get an answer here." Notice he didn't say that. No. All he knew was what God said What God's cleansed, let no man consider unholy. Oh, and by the way, there's some guys downstairs. I sent them to you, so when you just go with them. So he went ahead and went. They crashed that night, got up the next morning, and left. Verse 23, it says, the next day they got up and went with him. Verse 34 to 36 is the context. He goes to the house. You know the story. He goes into the house. Cornelius begins to tell him all about how the angel had appeared to him and how he had given him instructions to send men to Joppa, get Peter, bring him back, because he has a message for you. And notice what Peter says. He says, let's just... He says in verse 34, after Cornelius had told him all these things, he said, opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now, everybody say now, that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he's Lord of all. You yourselves know the things which took place here throughout all Judea, starting in Galilee. Notice what he's saying here. He's saying, I didn't understand what that vision meant until this very moment. In fact, the Greek New Testament basically leads us to understand this, that as Cornelius is talking right then and there on a spontaneous, simultaneous basis with Cornelius talking, Peter basically says, he grabbed a hold of it and says, I got it. I got it. Right this moment, I understand what that vision meant. You say, well, Pastor Dan, what does that have to do with anything about open doors? How many know if Peter had a not went, he wouldn't have got that understanding? But notice he didn't have to have the understanding to go. What would happen in the culture of us as the body of Christ if we would just train ourselves and train our children from the time they're little? You don't have to know why. Just do what I say. What would happen? What would happen in the culture of the church if we didn't train ourselves to have to know all the details behind everything that God's showing us before we went and did something? Peter never would have figured this out. He never would have got the understanding on this. He never would have got it if he hadn't just been willing to reverence the Lord enough. Lord, you told me to go, I'm going. I still don't understand this, but I figure you'll show it to me at some point. And so he left with the men. They went back. He sat down. Cornelius began to talk. And as Cornelius is talking, all of a sudden the Spirit of God shows him what that vision meant. And in the Greek New Testament, it literally says that in that moment, contemporary with what he was saying, he grabbed a hold of that and he pulled it down to himself. I got it. And I'm going to participate in the results of this. He never would have got that if he hadn't been willing to say, hey, why not? Let's go. Why not? Still don't know that answer, but hey, he told me to go with you, so why not? Let's go. We'll sleep here tonight, and the next morning, we'll go. What happens in your life when you've trained yourself to be that kind of person who just simply says, yeah, why not? When the Spirit of the Lord impresses you something, instead of going to the, well, wait a minute, I got to think about this. And then we think it and think it and think it, and by the time we're done thinking, we've completely disregarded it. Yeah. Instead of doing that, we just say, hey, why not? I'm game. Because really, what we need to understand here, that there's an element that we really have kind of forgotten about. They talk about a lot in the Word of God, and that is reverencing the Lord. In your notes there, I have this as a principle. If we want to develop a lifestyle of walking through open doors, we must also be willing to act without complete or no insight. There are times with Him that understanding is only connected with your footsteps. Let me tell you something, folks, that the worst thing we can do to any human being that gets put on the planet is train them that they have to understand before they do. Without realizing that, when they come into the kingdom, then all of a sudden now you've trained them. Well, God, you gotta give me more than this, man. You gotta give me more than this. Like, how's this gonna end? Like, why am I going? I understand you sent them, but I mean, at least give me some insight into what, you know, give me some insight. Give me a word from the Lord. Come on. I gotta have a little more insight than this. You gotta give me more to go off of. All these things we've said. And we've trained ourselves wrongly to recognize open doors because we've got to train ourselves to come to the place where we just have an attitude, hey, why not? I don't need to know why you want me to go to the grocery store. Right now? What do you want me to go to the produce section? I really don't have any need for any kind of fruit. Instead of going through all that mess, why don't we just say, hey, why not? Say, Dan, why do you go through all this? Why are we teaching on this? Well, in case you haven't noticed, the book of Acts is really the blueprint on how the gospel is fused together to a culture. That's what the book of Acts is. It's a blueprint for how you fuse the message of the gospel into a culture. And so if we take that away, and we pretend like the book of Acts doesn't exist, what do we have? We got a whole lot of buildings with people in them that don't want nothing to do with the culture that that building is in the middle of. And we never learn how to flow in and out of that place of Holy Spirit ministry, recognizing open doors, training ourselves to just have reverence for the Lord, and if He says, go here, do this, do that, say this, that, and the other, we don't know that we should have been trained to not have to overthink it. We should have adopted and trained ourselves to have a life attitude of, hey, why not? Because really, that's the epitome of honoring, of reverencing the Lord. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Notice knowledge doesn't start, real knowledge doesn't start until you reverence Him. Right? So we're teaching on these things because, should I go here? Yeah, okay, I will. I'm just saying this may just be me, but, you know, he can straighten me out when I get up there. Did you ever notice that any scene, any concept of heaven, anything that we see in Revelations that's revealed of the reward seat and those kinds of things. You ever notice that nowhere does it give an example of somebody being rewarded because they got their bills paid? Because they believed God for a new this or a new that, and they got it. Not saying there's anything wrong with that, but did you notice that that's completely missing from any context of what's revealed to us out of Scripture? Do you notice that, you know, Paul talked about a crown of life and all those things that come with that, not because he learned how to have all his needs met according to his riches and glory. And he did. And we're not minimizing that, and that's absolutely, I mean, my gosh, we gotta learn to function on that level so we can learn to function on the other, right? But you notice that there's no rewards handed out for that. What are the rewards handed out for? The rewards are handed out because we learned how to advance the kingdom. So we're teaching on these things, not because there's any issue with that, because brother, sister, let me tell you something. I'm believing along with you in whatever facet you're believing God for, that you have exceedingly abundantly above all you could ever ask or think. So I'm not speaking against those things. But why stop there? Why don't we learn to put the gospel back into the context of a culture and learn how to advance the kingdom? You learn how to advance the kingdom by, number one, it says we learn how to reverence the Lord. The beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. Isaiah 11:3, speaking of Jesus prophetically, it says that he'll delight in the fear of the Lord, and he'll not judge by eyes or make decisions by his ears. Did you notice that both of those situations, both involve employing the rationalization of the mind? And it said that Jesus wasn't going to function there. It's also interesting to notice that he said to the disciples that the prince of this world, the prince of darkness, he has nothing in me. Did you ever put two and two together and notice that the reason why the prince of darkness has nothing in him is because he didn't employ his rationalization and he didn't make decisions based on his eyes or his ears? For those might be the avenues that darkness would get into somebody and start tweaking your emotions because you start looking at the wrong things, you start listening to the wrong things. Jesus didn't let darkness in his backyard to play games in his mind. Isaiah said that he wasn't going to function by his ears or his eyes. Ultimately, he was saying he wasn't going to function by the rationalization of his mind. And this is the way Jesus kept darkness from having anything in him. Notice in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 verse 31. It says that the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace being built up. Notice it says, going on in the fear of the Lord. Notice it doesn't say, like the disciples after the crucifixion of Jesus, they huddled in their houses, going on in the fear of man. No, it says they went on in, that's an action, right? That's not a sedimentary statement. They went on in the fear of the Lord. Notice what happened because they learned how to reverence the Lord. They were in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and it continued to what? It continued to what? Anybody here today?
Increase.
Principle. If we establish a life habit of reverencing Him, you're guaranteed to grow and expand. We're talking about these dinner together, expanding our, getting out of our comfort zones. I'm pretty sure the next series I'm going to teach is a series on change. And I'm right there with you. Oh God. But how many know if you're going to reverence the Lord, you're going to be doing a lot of changing? Because the Spirit of God is constantly going to be trying to pull us out of that comfort zone. But I like that seat. It's comfortable. Stand up. Let's walk. Okay. Why not? And I'll submit to you that the only reason that we have a culture in the church that we do is because we haven't been trained how to live in the mindset of, hey, why not? I'm going to reverence my Jesus before anything else. And I know it may make me uncomfortable for the moment, but where pain and sorrow is in the night, there's joy in the morning. Right? So they learned how to reverence the Lord. They went on in the reverence of the Lord. And the result of that is they experienced the comfort of the Spirit of God. And they continued to increase. 2 Corinthians 5:11 says, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, this is Paul speaking, we persuade men and we are made manifest to God. I want you to notice what he says here. That word knowing there, incidentally, is the Greek word where we get the word video. It's talking about seeing. Paul's saying, we see the fear of the Lord. In fact, we already know that God is always on looking. In other places, he said, you know, when I open my mouth and speak, I'm not speaking on my own behalf. I'm speaking in the presence of him. I mean, that will really cultivate your awareness of being reverence of him when you understand that everywhere you are, there he is. So we ought not say things as if he's not already there. We ought not speak things, we ought not think things as if he's not there. Because he is. And Paul says we see the fear of the Lord all the time. In fact, we're made manifest to God. He's right here, and I speak. When I speak, I'm speaking in his presence. You know, Galatians 1:16, we talked about this the other day, not being at home in the flesh. Can I just say this? The opposite of reverencing him is being at home in the flesh. I'm going to say that again. The opposite of reverencing him is being at home in the flesh. I know in the context he's talking about, you know, being out of his body, but I'll submit to you that if we get so comfortable living in our body and out of our mind, and as far as we're concerned, what's between our ears and our mind is the greater expert of anything, then you're at home in the flesh. And Paul says, if you're there, you're absent from the Lord. Well, we don't want to live there, right? We want to be at home with the Lord. So we want to reverence him. And as we've talked about before, we want to create an environment where he's comfortable interacting with us, and we don't miss things. And so if we cultivate that type of environment, then we cultivate a lifestyle of, hey, why not? Because we love him. We reverence him. We want to go with him. Whatever you want me to do, let's go. Let's do it. Acts 11:19. It says, so then those who scattered about because of the persecution of Stephen. Remember that way back? There were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, that came to Antioch, and they began to speak to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. So now here we got two guys that were willing to say, hey, why not? I'll submit to you. This was in AD 41. I'll submit to you. The scene just before this was a picture back in Judea where they're having a big old meeting about whether or not we should be interacting with non-Jewish people. And Peter had to go through the whole routine. Here's the vision I had. Here's what he said. Here's what I experienced at Cornelius' house when I went there. And so they said, oh, okay. But I submit to you that these guys that went from Cyrene and they started taking the message to the non-Jewish population, I guarantee you they didn't know that that conversation in Judea was going on. They just were willing because they had an attitude of, hey, why not? Let's see what happens. So they started giving the same message, redirecting it to the non-Jewish population. And oh my gosh, it says the hand of the Lord was with them and great numbers came to the Lord. Did they know that ahead of time? No. Was that okay with their population? No. But they decided, you know what? Why not? Let's see where this goes. I'll submit this to you folks. There are things that will happen in the kingdom of God that will not happen unless you're willing to have an attitude of why not. And your mind couldn't even fathom where that's going to go. But because you initiated an action from the Spirit of God and you were willing to have an attitude of why not, and you just opened the door, it stepped through that open door and just went with it, you have absolutely no idea where that's going to go. But I'm telling you, some of the greatest things that will happen in your life, I don't care what's in business or whatever it is, in the kingdom, some of the greatest things that will ever happen to you will happen to you because you were willing to take a step. You didn't have to know ahead of time what was going to happen, and you just said, why not, let's do it. I'm going to tell you this. In regards to this church, this city has not experienced the magnitude of the kingdom of God like they're going to from a church that has so many people in so many different places in the cities. But they will, because we will be trained and raised up with an attitude of reverence for our Jesus, and simply just say, hey, why not? We're here for a reason. I said we're here for a reason. And all of the things that you're learning by the Spirit of God, if we're willing to take those and implement them in our life and not just be hearers, but we're willing to put some weight on them and test them out, you're going to find that he's going to catapult you into a life you never dreamed. But all those things that you're believing God for, y'all say that, all the things that you're believing God for are connected to whether or not you're willing to just go through open doors and say, why not? They're connected to those things. So if we'll train ourselves to be that way, he'll take you into the promises that he's given you. We're not trying to earn the promises, but folks, let's not be foolish. The only way that you can live a life and say the darkness has nothing in me is if you're functioning according to the Scripture. You're thinking according to the Word. You're speaking according to the way the Spirit of God would speak. You're willing, you're not allowing fear, depression, hurt feelings, whatever else that manipulates human beings and tries to turn them certain ways. We're not allowing those things to have set up shop in our life. That's the way you'll experience the promises that he's given you, is being willing to be fluid and being willing for him to train you. Because the promises are connected to the training. If you're not willing to do this, then you can dream about these all you want to. Because the person who inherits the promises is the one who allows the Spirit of God to teach them how to get there. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you really hear what I'm saying? I don't want you guys to think that I'm saying we have to earn the promises of God. We don't. But folks, let's not be foolish and naive. You're not the best you yet. Did you hear me? You're not the best you yet. And there are promises that he's spoken over you. He's not speaking from time. He's speaking from a place of what is. But what is, you may not be there yet. So we have to be willing to let him train us, remove things out of our life, teach us how to walk right, think right, talk right, live right, teach us how to keep crap out of our yard, and he's bringing us all this whole time. Every time you override fear, he expands you a little more, and expands you a little more, expands you a little more. Before you know it, all of a sudden, wham, you're right in the middle of the promises that he made, he spoke over your life, and that which he saw from the end, and he saw from the beginning, your end, you're standing there. It's not a promise anymore. But we've got to adopt the mindsets of being a person. I'm not going to live out of my head. My thought process is not the expert in anything in this life. Holy Spirit is. So therefore, I'm not going to elevate my own thinking above anything else beyond what the Spirit of God shows me. and what the Word shows me. And I'm not going to allow fear to set up shop in my life. I'm not going to allow it to box me in. I'm not going to allow emotions, twisted, you know, whatever it is, pin me in, squish me, and keep me down. Because I'm going to adopt a life that if the Spirit of God shows me to do things, and even if He doesn't, quite frankly, those two guys that started speaking to the Greeks, you know, it doesn't say anywhere in there, and we're done, it doesn't say anywhere in there that they got a word from the Lord. Right? Do you read that anywhere in the text? No. They just decided, you know what? What if? Why not? Let's give it a shot. Don't be afraid, guys, to ever put the Lord on the spot. That's kind of screwy. Because He knows everything. So how do you put Him on the spot? He already knew you were going to do it. But what you don't see is Him back there, yes. You know, the whole Tiger Woods. So what do you say? Let's be that kind of people. Why not? Amen? Go ahead and stand up. Folks, I got to tell you, there's... We've always got to keep ourselves aware of what's going on in our head and where it's coming from. And you just got to understand this. It's not coming from you. Garbage thoughts and all kind of junk like that, it's not coming from you. Now, you can make it yours. But it's not coming from you. And we just got to come to the place where we have enough insight into what's going on in our life to recognize the source of this kind of mess and slam the door on that stuff as fast as you can. Because all it's trying to do is pull you off of who you really are. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just love You and I praise You. And I thank You for these people. I thank You they love You with all their heart. Holy Spirit, thank You for raising us up to be a people. We recognize Your kingdom. We recognize the openings. We walk through those openings. We create openings because we're just willing to have an attitude of, hey, why not? And we take responsibility for the mess that tries to set up shop in our heads. Holy Spirit, I thank You for Your presence in and upon every individual in this room. And I thank You that all we want is You. Any moment, every day, all we want is You. Thank You for making us like our teacher. We receive that. Everybody say that. I receive that.
I receive that.
In Jesus' name, that I am exactly like my Jesus. Because You're teaching me everything You taught Him. So we just thank You for that. And I declare by the Spirit of God that no weapon formed against these human beings will prosper. Devil, You're a sorry liar. And you just go back on to hell. That's where you belong. You're not going to toy with these people. We're going to crush your head every second of every day. And the kingdom of God is going to advance in our lives and in the lives of the people in the city. And this church will grow, expand, and multiply unceasing. And with it, the kingdom of God will expand, and we will, like Paul said, persecution doesn't matter. We must enter the kingdom, even if it means we go through the persecution to get there. We are going to enter that kingdom, and we are going to bring that kingdom. So I thank you, Father, for your blessing on these people's lives, for your hand on their lives. And I thank you for clarity of thought, that they recognize every second if darkness tries to bring junk, they recognize immediately where it comes from. And they slam that door fast. It does not become their identity. It does not become who they are. It does not become something they relate to. Because you're raising them up to relate to you. Because we do know Jesus like Jesus knew the Father. And we refuse to come off of that. Everybody agree with that prayer said? Amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.